Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, if you find yourself getting sort of outside of the broad range of our AM, FM capability, just know that you ain't done, because we ain't done with you. Just go to rightsideradio.org, right there on your smartphone or your whatever device you've got, rightsideradio.org. That's our website. And there's a place on there where you can click listen live, and no matter where you is, there we is. I've got folks that listen to the show all over the place, and I mean, I'm talking out of state and everything. And so listen, just know that you can listen to the show no matter where you are. Take us on vacation. We'll be with you. So listen, I was talking a minute ago about the fact that, in my opinion, we're seeing sort of a massive amount of infighting right now among Democrats at all levels, state, local, probably, but certainly national too. But let me back up and refresh you on the state's issues. So the Alabama Democrat Party, all right, the Alabama Democratic Party has been fighting amongst themselves for the longest time, and it's always over basically control, leadership, what can they do, what can they get away with. And there have been certain factions within the Alabama Democratic Party that have constantly either been at war with each other or suppressing others within the party to try and get their way. Well, so some things changed in 2018. If you remember, the Democrat Party, Alabama Democrat Party, literally, it was almost like watching a coup take place. But one group had finally had it with members like Nancy Worley and Joe Reed, who had controlled but yet also fecklessly led the Alabama Democratic Party. The ADC, or ADP, the Alabama Democratic Party, they couldn't even pay the light bill at one point or the rent at their state office. That's amazing. That means their fundraising had dried up because nobody trusted them, and it was horrible. It was falling apart. And I'm a longtime Republican. I was a Republican state senator. I was a party chairman for my county. I was the I'm still a member of the Alabama Republican Executive Committee on the statewide level. But all that to say, I have said before, the Republicans in Alabama will probably do a better job and truly be more conservative and swing more to the right if they actually had some real competition from a organized and well-run Alabama Democratic Party. Not that I want Democrats getting elected, but you rise to the level of your competition, and right there is zero competition right now. Right now, there is zero competition from Democrats. It's amazing to watch, or basically not watch, because they're not there. I mean, do you see any viable statewide Democrats right now? No. Do you see anybody saying, I'm going to run for governor, and you can look at them and go, that's a real candidate? No. Do you see any Democrats running for the U.S. Senate race? No. Do you see any real Democrat candidates running for congressional races right now? No. They're basically, we have Congresswoman Terry Sewell, who's in a district that tends to lean Democrat no matter what, so she's pretty safe. The rest of the state is bright red, Republican held, which can breed laziness if we're not careful. But the Democrats, in the meantime, do not have their act together. And I really thought when State Representative Chris England became the statewide party chair, I anticipate, because I know him, I respect him. He refuses to come on the show so far, but and we have asked multiple. Copper, how many times have we tried to get Representative Chris England on the show?
I've lost track at this point.
I would bet we reached out a dozen times at least. Wouldn't you think?
Maybe not quite that much, but many.
Okay. 8 to 10 times. How about that? I know that for
okay, sure.
All right, we're going with it. But nonetheless, what I'm saying here is the statewide Democrat Party is back in court again. So right now, one of the things that this demonstrates for me that there is chaos among Democrats is the fact that 2018 was a year of legalities. It was a year of the National Democrat Party dethroning certain people. It was a year of having to change their bylaws. It was a year of all these things happening. And lo and behold, they thought it was all over with. Well, just this year, new legal action where two of the former faction that had been dethroned came back, and they didn't file a new lawsuit. They resurrected a case from 1991, a federal court consent decree. And they got approval from the federal district court judge here in Alabama to be allowed to do what's called an intervention in that old case and resurrect issues and claim that what's happening right now is that the leadership is in some way violating the consent decree, which is designed to protect minorities in the Democrat Party. Never mind the fact that, you know, right now it's probably the most diverse looking party leadership they've ever had in the state Democrat Party, but they're going to court with each other again. One more time. Why not? One more time. We can't field a candidate? Well, let's go to court with each other and duke it out. Let's go ahead and try to figure out how we can make this even more of a mess than it already is. Why would anyone want to support that? In the meantime, Republicans just kind of keep moving along because there's no competition. Wow. We come back. I'm going to play some audio for you about national infighting. Got some stories that'll boggle your mind. And it all leads back to who's at the top of the ticket? Oh, yeah. That would be the President of the United States with the lowest poll numbers we've seen in quite some time. All right, folks. Phil Williams, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama. And this is the biggest show across afternoons in North Alabama right here, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm your host, Phil Williams, here Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m., and Copper runs the board, and we are literally laying it out there for you. And right now, I'm working through the triple dipper of the day. The triple dipper, remember, three stories you've got to know. The first one we've been talking about right now is the Democrats are fighting amongst themselves. And by the way, this is more what I would call a conservative show. Although I am a Republican, I'm a conservative first. And I think the majority of what we talk about here is issues-based. But every once in a while, I got to point something out. If Republicans were just literally crushing each other right now, I would do the same thing in terms of talking about them. But I'm seeing it differently. I'm seeing right now that liberals, Democrats in general, but liberals especially, are literally just like eating their own right now as we speak. So one of the things that's happening right now, I talked about the state Democrat Party and how in disarray they appear to be right now. But on the national scene, here's one of the problems they've got. What they've got is that at the top of the ticket is, of course, President of the United States, Joe Biden. And right now, as we speak, Joe Biden's poll numbers are plummeting, and it is absolutely the wrong time. Now, you may look at this and go, yeah, but Phil, there's no election for like, you know, 9 months for primaries and, you know, better part of a year before we get to the general election. Yeah, but, here's the deal. These poll numbers are coming right when so much is at stake. And the poll numbers create fear in what would be considered a lean Democrat area. In other words, someone who is running for re-election right now as a Democrat, if they are being sufficiently challenged, if they are being held to account to the extent that they may not get re-elected, then they have to be careful what they do. If they're one of those who operates on polls and not on principle, then they're going to be careful what they do, and they don't want to get dragged down by the top of the ticket. And so they have to, got to find that buffer. Okay, now if his poll numbers were at, you know, 55, 60, 65%, they'd be like, yes, sir, Mr. President, what can we do to align with you? But right now they aren't. They're in the tank. With independents, they're way in the tank. I mean, like, down to 37%. He has dropped in 90 days. It's the last 3 months. He has dropped somewhere in the neighborhood of, oh, gosh, where is it? I want to say 15 points with independents alone. So the president's poll numbers are a part of the problem. Because with everything going wrong right now, the war in Afghanistan, the way he's handled coronavirus, the fact that he's got so much at stake right now on big, huge spending, the drone strike that went poorly, the fact that no one's being held accountable, and of course the border crisis, his approval rate sits at 43%. A majority of the country, according to a Gallup poll, this is a real deal poll, says the president, they have a 53% majority that disapprove of how he's handling his duties. Okay. Keep in mind, all of these things would be a whole lot more manageable, like I said, if he was in a stronger position, all of his agenda items, if he was up at 55 or 60. But literally what we're looking at right now is his ability to sort of cajole the warring moderates and liberal forces in the House right now would be a whole lot better off. But they're scared to death of getting strapped down to his poll numbers as they face tough re-elections. So Democrats in those swing states, yeah, they're jumpy. And they don't know that they want to be on board with spending trillions of dollars and raising taxes and doing all these things and passing bills that are purely designed to get social infrastructure, not real infrastructure, but what they call social infrastructure. That's a report, by the way, of CNN. Well, so CNN saying that, now I'm looking at an article from The Hill. All right, so more of the paper in front of me, and I've got The Hill right here saying, and here's their title, Panic Begins to Creep into Democratic Talks on the Biden Agenda. Wow! So the Democrats aren't panicking yet, The Hill says, but there's a growing sense of urgency and frustration because, see, here's the deal. If you haven't been tracking it, there's two bills right now. A whole part of this triple dipper on Democrat infighting, a lot of it circles around what's happening with two major spending bills up in D.C. right now. So if you're having that water cooler conversation and someone says, what's going on in D.C.? They're spending a lot of money. Yeah, well, let me tell you. They got one that's worth $1.3 trillion, one that's worth Anyway, there are $3.5 trillion, I'm sorry. There are multiple trillions of dollars on the line. The first bill, the smaller one of the two has already passed the Senate. And it is the one that appears to have some favor. It's the one that really does build roads and bridges and internet capability and that kind of thing. I'm not for spending the trillions of dollars, but at least it sounds like infrastructure, right? The other bill, they went with a two-track thing. The other bill is over $3 trillion, and it's purely social progressive projects. All kinds of stuff just thrown in there, just trying to make every liberal agenda look good. All the green energy stuff and everything else thrown into this multi-trillion dollar bill. Well, the liberals in the House want that bill badly. But the only one that's passed the Senate is the smaller one. So Nancy Pelosi is saying, okay, we're going to bring the smaller one up for a vote. But the liberals are like, no, no, we won't support you on the small one until we get a chance to debate and vote on the big one too. And right now, they don't have any consensus on any of that. None of it. And so the war among the Democrats is getting crazy. And I got a clip. I tell you what, Copper, go ahead and get clip two ready and let me know when you've got it. But clip two is one of my least favorite people in Congress Representative Ilhan Omar. And so Ilhan Omar is, believe it or not, thanks, that's Copper, I see you there. So Ilhan Omar is apparently the Progressive Caucus Chair. And she's out there saying right now that they feel like they're being left behind. They're not being treated well. They don't feel like they're getting what they want. And they don't believe that they're going to support this whole idea of voting for the smaller bill. I'm fine with that. Let them both die. But Ilhan Omar, slightly long, is about a minute. Let's go ahead and hear what she has to say. Play clip two, Copper.
For the progressives, as the whip, I can tell you that more than 50% of our caucus is ready to, you know, vote this bill down if there is a change in strategy. We don't have any indication that the speaker is no longer going by the strategy that we've all been working off of. Senate progressive leaders put out a statement today reminding conservative Democrats that there was a deal made, and the deal was that we will support the infrastructure bill if they supported the reconciliation budget resolution. Mm-hmm. And if they go back on their deal, we're going back on our deal. And I don't think anybody wants that to happen because it doesn't benefit any one of us. I and many progressives continue to remind our caucus and senators that the Biden agenda is our agenda.
There you go. The Biden agenda is the liberal wing of the Democrat Party's agenda, and they are going to kill the more conservative part of the Biden agenda if they don't get the more liberal part first. And then I hope you heard the infighting. Now was she yelling and screaming? No, but she was making accusations of backing out on their deals, of leaving us behind, of not being truthful. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, it's unraveling. And right now we got a vote potentially on Monday. This is Friday. On Monday. And that Monday vote could leave a lot of egg on people's face. In fact, that's actually a line from The Hill. That's where I guess that's why it was in my mind. The Hill article I'm looking at right now that was published last night, it literally says, tensions are rising as it looks likely that people are going to end up with egg on their faces next week. It goes on to say, if the bipartisan package fails, then moderate Democrats are going to be furious that one of their biggest priorities got torpedoed by progressives. That's the smaller bill. But at the same time, if the larger bill doesn't come up, then the progressives are going to feel like they got slighted, just like Representative Ilhan Omar just said, and they're going to feel like they got left behind. So right now, ain't nobody giving nobody nothing. Meanwhile, Republicans are just sitting by and laughing. And that's what's happening right now on the Hill in D.C. And I mean, I'm looking at an article right now in Politico. I went to Politico. I got the paper right here to prove it. But Politico is even saying Democrat leaders are trying for unity and they only keep getting more tough questions. So Democrat leaders are trying to infuse some momentum in there. They're claiming we now have a framework from which to work. We have a framework for how we're going to take care of this. We have a framework, they say. And yet when you read the article, you'll find that some of the ones who are considered to be the more moderate Democrats, Senator Joe Manchin, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, you know, Representative Steny Hoyer, whatever. They're saying, yeah, we don't know what framework they've got because we haven't seen a thing. In fact, Joe Manchin, here's his quote, we don't know what they're talking about. It sounds good if they're all working towards something to present to us after all their conversations yesterday, but I haven't seen it. All right. Kyrsten Sinema said almost exact same thing. Even though Biden had key leaders or holdouts over to the White House for some arm twisting, which apparently did no good because right now he has got no leverage. Even though he spent, 45 years in the U.S. Senate, he appears to have no leverage whatsoever with members of his own caucus because they recognize his polling numbers are so bad they don't want to be tied to him. Well, listen, it's not just that one bill. It's not just the Alabama Democrat Party suing itself for the 19th time. It's not just the fact that Dems are failing at every policy opportunity they have and blaming each other. And it's not just the fact that the spending bills are at risk for going under, which I'd be fine with, by the way. But there's also some just flat-out consternation. We're going to take a short break right now. When we get back from that, I got a clip to play you. It's probably going to make you proud of a Democrat. Probably going to make you proud that a liberal finally got it handed to him on the floor of the House. Yes, indeed, by another Democrat. It's going to be fun. I'll play that for you when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Yep, and we will be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. That is the station. Right Side Radio, that's the show. Phil Williams, I am the host. It is Friday afternoon at 2:53 p.m. We are working our way towards go-home time. Go-home time for the weekend. I hope you guys have a great one because the weather is beautiful. Some of y'all are going to go out there to high school football tonight and, you know, maybe catch a game or, you know, spend some time working in the yard this weekend or just enjoying the weather. I don't know about y'all, but I got some plans. I'll be doing some cleanup work on the Jeep. And then I'm pretty sure I've got a go driving time with the top off just to enjoy it because it's that kind of a weekend. Hey, Copper, can you hear me okay? The Yes. The story just broke a little while ago, and Copper and I both kind of caught it at the same time. Copper, for your show on Friday, Sunday, I'm not sure what you've got already planned, but you know, there's a couple of stories. For some reason, I can't cut and paste them over to you right now, but Fox News has got a couple of stories about that abortion bill.
Yeah.
So folks, there's an amazing. This is a quick cutaway. I'm going to go back to my main topic in a minute about Democrats fighting, but there's a major story right now about probably one of the most heinous abortion bills ever passed. What they're trying to do right now, Nancy Pelosi is determined to try and get around the fact that states like Alabama, like Texas, like Mississippi are beginning to push back on the Roe v. Wade abortion rights agenda and pass state laws. And we just had, you know, some that were upheld in Supreme Court level, and that's great. But right now, the so-called Women's Health Protection Act did apparently pass the House yesterday. I don't think it will pass the Senate. I don't think it'll get that far. But what they're trying to do right now is get around the fact that Roe v. Wade was a judicial decision. They're trying to codify it as a legislative decision in order to prevent the states from having a state's rights say to do something about it. Anyway, Copper, I wanted you to know there's some stories that I put on the Google Doc here for you to see that I couldn't get them over to you, but they are there. You might want to check them out.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I was appalled when I saw that this morning.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, listen, I want to get back to the main topic. So the triple dipper for the day, the first story on my three stories you got to know is that Democrat infighting is at epic levels right now. Epic levels. And so I talked a lot about the fact that the state Democrat Party is in disarray. They can't seem to find their backside with both hands right now. They're suing each other again in court. There's an infighting issue there at the state level, trying to reclaim leadership for some of the old power brokers who just can't stand the fact that they're not in charge anymore, and they're ruining the party for years. Nancy Worley, I mean, golly, I mean, there's something else to watch. But at the national level, we're also seeing it. And I've talked a lot about the literal fighting over agenda items, the fear of getting dragged down by Joe Biden's tanking polling numbers. But then here's the thing. Go deeper than that. It's not just a fight over agendas. It's really starting to show itself in the imminent frustrations of one person with another in the same party to the extent that there's activity on the floor of the House like I've never seen where Democrats are calling each other out, and Democrats are launching bills to get back at other Democrats. Yeah. Well, so here's the one that happened. So Representative Rashida Tlaib, who's a member of the squad, she is an anti-Semite of the highest order. She's also one of the most bitter people I've ever seen on camera. She never looks like she's happy with the world. And she literally got out there and gave a floor speech where she said there is no place on the map for a one Jewish state. And she went on to describe Israel as being anti... Where's my note here in this article from Mediaite? Here it is. She accused Israel of war crimes, human rights abuses, and violence, and having a violent apartheid system. Well, the previous day, the squad and some of the more progressives were able to strip out international funding in a spending bill that would have been used to help upfund Israel's Iron Dome anti-aircraft system. That anti-aircraft system, Iron Dome, has saved any number of Israeli citizens from being killed by rockets being launched at them from Palestine and Gaza. So all I'm saying here is we were going to be funding an air defense, a defensive system. And liberal Democrats were able to pull that from the bill. Well, the very next day, moderate Democrats said, well, by God, no. And they dropped another bill, and I've never seen a bill move that fast. It must have come out of committee in a heartbeat, and it went straight to the floor, at which point Democrat Representative Ted Deutch slammed Representative Rashida Tlaib for her comments. And I cut to Copper, I'll tell you what, clip one. Have you got that ready, Copper? Let me know if you got it. We're going to play clip one, which is Representative Ted Deutch on the floor of the House. Okay, go ahead and play clip one.
But Mr. Speaker, I cannot allow one of my colleagues to stand on the floor of the House of Representatives and label the Jewish Democratic State of Israel an apartheid state. I reject it. Today, this caucus, this body, the House of Representatives will overwhelmingly stand with our ally, the State of Israel, in replenishing this defensive system. If you believe in human rights, if you believe in saving lives, Israeli lives and Palestinian lives, I say to my colleague who just besmirched our ally, then you will support this legislation. May I have 15 more seconds?
Let's stop there, Copper. What you had there was an outstanding example of principle over politics. And one Democrat stood up on the floor of the House and had enough and rebuked a more liberal member of his party. And instantly got an outstanding ovation, by the way, from his colleagues. And they passed that bill to restore funding to the Iron Dome system for Israel. In the meantime, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez apparently cried on the floor of the House. We're going to come back right after this with more stuff you're going to want to know on the Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.